From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, March 6th. Coming up, we'll learn more about the Illinois Commission on Equitable Public University funding recommendations on how Illinois could more equitably fund public universities. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. A former Democratic Illinois governor is teaming up with a Republican on ethics reform for politicians. Alex Degman reports.
Illinois has a long history of corruption. So, Pat Quinn and State Representative Ryan Spain think regular citizens should have a louder voice in ethics reform talks. Spain's measure would ask voters whether the state constitution should change to let ordinary people put ethics questions on a statewide ballot. Quinn says now's the time to make that change.
I think it's very, very important that now that the former speaker is not here with us anymore, there'll be a new day. Let's let some fresh air into the opportunity to have a real debate.
Three-fifths of both the House and Senate need to approve the measure by May 5th if it's going to get on the ballot this November. I'm Alex Degman.
A proposal in Springfield would ban small toiletry containers from Illinois hotels with the goal of reducing plastic waste. Jade Marceau reports.
Single-use bottles of soap, shampoo, and other products would no longer be allowed under the legislation. Hotels of all sizes will have to transition to a more eco-friendly alternative by 2026. Democratic State Senator Laura Fine is the bill's sponsor. She says it is essential to reduce plastic waste to protect human lives.
There's probably between 8 to 10 million metric tons of plastic that ends up in our oceans every year. And the fish are consuming this plastic, and then we are consuming the fish.
California, New York, and Washington states have all passed legislation banning these containers from hotels. I'm Jane Marceau.
Now's the time many families start signing kids up for summer camp. For working parents, this childcare is essential, but it can be expensive. Illinois Student Newsroom's John Shea has more on financial aid that aims to help.
Parents in Illinois who qualify for the state's Child Care Assistance Program based on their work or school status can use that to help cover the costs of summer camp as well. Kayla Carter is the Director of Financial Operations at the Stevens Family YMCA. She says the Y offers financial aid and scholarships and also accepts payments from the state, administered by the Child Care Resource Services Program, also known as CCRS.
If you're a single parent or financially unable to pay for care, it's very important that you have that opportunity available and that we, you know, accept that so that they can afford to attend the camps.
The application for financial aid can be found at ccrs.illinois.edu. I'm John Shea, Illinois Student Newsroom.
The number 12 overall Fighting Illini men's basketball team lost their final home regular season game last night to the number 3 overall Purdue Boilermakers 77-71. IPM News reporter Colin Highslope has more.
Purdue won the Big Ten Conference regular season crown with the 6-point win over the Illini. Despite the loss, Illinois is still in second place in the Big Ten Conference with one regular season game to go. Head coach Brad Underwood spoke about the loss after the game.
High-level game. I love our team. I love what we're doing. If that's the best in the country, which I think it is, we're right there. And you have to make a couple plays when the game's on the line to win.
Illinois will travel to play the Iowa Hawkeyes to finish the regular season on Sunday, March 10th at 6 p.m. I'm Colin Highslope, IPM News.
Still to come, we'll learn more about the Illinois Commission on Equitable Public University funding recommendations on how Illinois could more equitably fund public universities. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
New on Masterpiece is a three-part miniseries based on the life of 1960s actress and television presenter Nolly Gordon. Helena Bonham Carter stars as Gordon, who was beloved by viewers and admired by her co-stars, but who was a thorn in the side of some directors. When she's unexpectedly fired at the height of her career, Nolly and her fans refuse to be silent. This series explores how the establishment turns on women who refuse to conform. Friends of WILL can binge all three episodes starting March 17th with Passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. In 2017, Illinois changed how it funded K-12 education. Now, a state commission released its recommendations on how Illinois could more equitably fund public universities, too. Peter Medlin spoke with commission member Robin Staines about what it could mean for students.
We have done some hard work looking at early childhood at K-12. And when you think about it, it just doesn't make sense to really be thoughtful about what should we be spending in early childhood to get things right for our kids. What should we be spending in K-12 to make sure that our kids are really ready for college and career? And then to not look at that last piece doesn't make sense. But I think there's some other more pressing reasons as well. We have had a huge fall off in enrollment. And one of the reasons is clearly affordability. So we're down over 7%. I mean, hundreds of thousands of students down. Funding was erratic and has gone down, and that has driven up tuition costs. And so we've just got a perfect storm of challenges.
And to highlight that affordability point, the report mentions some historical context about how there was an analysis that showed that from 2000 to 2020, that state investment in colleges and universities in Illinois dropped by 46%, and that's inflation adjusted. How has that impacted Illinois students over the past couple decades?
When state appropriations and support for universities goes down, tuition goes up. And the second is, as those students get to those universities, you want to make sure they've got the supports and the services those students need to be successful. If we learned anything from K-12, it's that not every student requires the same support. It may cost more. They're the first-time goers, the first-generation goers. If they're English language learners, if they are parents, if they've got housing instability, all of that got factored in, and we've come up with what we think is a credible way for the state to look at it and say, okay, here's what it costs, and here's how do you adjust that adequacy target based on your student population and the type of programs and the mission that your university has, so that we can calculate for every university, here's what you ought to be spending. Now that we know that, how much do you have available? Can you reasonably expect in tuition, fees, et cetera? And then what's that gap? And then based on who's furthest from that, who's got the biggest gap, as we get new dollars, how do we spend those dollars so that we are helping the institutions that are furthest from adequacy catch up the fastest?
How different is that system and that formula compared with the way that we do things now?
Is very different than what we currently do. So the current way that we fund higher education is, I don't really have a good word for it. It is idiosyncratic and it is very individualized. So every institution essentially comes to the General Assembly and says, here's what we need. So there isn't a formula per se. So what we typically do is just, well, how much more do we have? How much can we afford to maybe send their way? And then we sort of give everybody at this point now an equal amount. You saw the governor's proposal this year is an across-the-board increase of 2%. That, as you can imagine, is equal but not necessarily equitable.
Can you give folks just a few examples of what kind of factors we are weighing into this formula?
The first thing is what you care most about is what does it cost to provide instruction and student services, extracurriculars, athletics, what are those additional cost centers, then there are particular mission activities. You've got some Research 1 institutions, Research 2, Research 3. There are some that have strong performing arts. What are those missions? And then there's operational. So you factor all that together. We've got ways of calculating all of that.
Do we know which Illinois institutions are the most inadequately funded according to the formula?
Yes. If you read the report, it does list and say, according to this proposal, and with making a whole series of assumptions, all of which I'm sure will be discussed and adjusted further. University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is the closest to fully funded. Nobody's fully funded, by the way. There is more money required for everybody. And I believe the institution that's actually the furthest from adequacy, the way the formula is done, is Northeastern Illinois University. And then you've got a range in between there. The furthest from funding NEIU is only at about 40% funded. So we've got some real work to do to make sure that everybody's got what they need to keep kids successful.
To meet the goals that we have for the report, how much would we need to increase state investment over the next, again, 10 to 15 years?
I would say if we really wanted to do this and do this well and do it in a way that allowed all universities to thrive as quickly and as powerfully as possible, we would want to be investing as a state no less than $100 to $135 million new dollars a year for the next 10 to 15 years. That's a lot. and that's a lot compared to the increases that we've been getting in the last few years. But if we could find our way to get to 100 to 135 million, I think we could do extraordinary things for our students and for our state.
Are you confident that we could do it?
Depends, I think, on what the financial world looks like. I mean, I'm well aware that we are having this conversation when we're in a lean budget year. So I think it depends in part on what happens more globally with Illinois finances. But we're one of a handful of states that has revenue of over $1 trillion. And the question is, how do we want to invest that? What are our priorities? And it sure seems like this is a really significant one that pays enormous dividends to all involved, including the state and the state coffers. And it becomes hopefully one of those virtuous circles. We invest here and we're going to get that back in multiples.
That was Robin Staines with the Illinois Commission on Equitable Public University Funding talking with Peter Medlin about the commission's new report. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly cloudy with a high of 57 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Jade Marceau, John Shea, Colin Highslope, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.